Welcome in, everybody. It is Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We are live from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina, coast to coast, nationwide, and worldwide via the Chief Sports Network app. I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, cutting through the orange fog of the upstate of South Carolina. He is, of course, my co-host, as always, J.C. Sherbert. And it is Wide Open Wednesday, J.C. How about that? The chat box is hopping.
Wide Open Wednesday.
Baseball season ended, and everybody's got something to say.
Absolutely. I love it.
Yeah, man. McKellar, you're right. The coaching searches are great. Like, you know, you hate it because somebody loses their job, but it's an exciting time for any program. New blood, new coach. What's it going to be?
I think they're going to spend money. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well, I think you're going to have to.
Well, it's time. I mean, look, man, you don't. These days, you don't do yourself any good by balancing the budget. I mean, I'm not saying in the old days that was wrong because you didn't have the player pay dynamic and all that. You could reasonably do that and spend plenty. But I think sometimes a good thing, money seems to make the world go round. And I think one thing we have learned about Donati is he's willing to invest, you know, in things like coaching searches and stuff. Not that Ray Tanner and Eric Hyman and Mike McGee were not. I'm not saying that at all. I mean, I'll never forget a Board of Trustees member famously was upset that Lamont Paris got $2.2 million a year. And I think Lamont was about 12th in the SEC. You know, Beamer was last. But Beamer kind of came – I mean, it was – Beamer obviously is well compensated now. I mean, it was kind of an earn it kind of thing. But, I mean, it was during the pandemic, so – obviously, that was a good thing. But those guys didn't get hired because they were willing to come cheap, though. I want to be clear about that. Obviously, Paul Maneri was 1.3 more than any other baseball coach that's ever worked here and had the highest paid staff in the country. So that doesn't always work. But I do think they're going to spend and all that good stuff. So the McKellar Enterprises chat box is wide open because it is Wide Open Wednesday. And I said something earlier about NIL and when Lamont was retained, you know, Garnet Trust kind of took a hit with membership. And so WJM4 talks about this is when you donate the money and the coaching and team sucks withholding the money is about the only power a fan has. I donated to Carolina Rise and I've been with Garnet Trust since day one. And all I got was the worst men's athletic department in the SEC. I know what I'm saying is, that, you know, NILs, and I've always said this, and first and foremost, I have no ill will if you canceled your Garnet Trust membership or not. I think right now, as someone pointed out, you know, I filled up my truck for $120. Just a few short months ago, it was $60. Everything keeps going up. I mean, you know, at some point you got to cut something. Right. And if it's not something you feel good about spending, you should definitely cut it. I don't care what it is. Anything, especially anything I'm involved with. I don't tell people how to spend their money. I don't. What I'm saying is if you're trying to accomplish something and prove a point, you're not going to prove it with Garnet Trust that they don't have any say in anything. All that's going to do is make it hard on the next coach or the current coach or a sport that you're not mad at and all that good stuff. So that's my thing there with that. But do whatever you want to do. Hey, look, man, it doesn't matter what I say. If you want to save the money and you're just done with it and not do it. If you have absolutely no reason, if you're a millionaire and only get $5 a month and you want to stop that $5, that's your right. I'm not criticizing you for it. I'm just constantly trying to tell everyone how that part of it operates because it's really, really confusing. And it's kind of an easy target, right? So I was just kind of trying to explain, but I don't blame you. I mean, look, there's no question that this past season, this past academic year, which now is mercifully over.
Yes, that's
stunk.
Right.
I mean, it was bad. I'm surprised anybody's listening to our show. Our numbers have been incredible.
Right. Thank you.
I mean, you know, even you do before, care. No. I mean, you know, I saw somebody complaining about it. Said we had too many commercials on a message board the other day. And I was like, wow, you know, well, you must listen. I mean,
right.
I've been on, trust me, I'm guests on a few radio shows. And I have to hold through the commercial break. I get up, make a sandwich, get a cup of coffee, you know, wipe my forehead, change clothes, write a story, cut a video, and then come back. I mean, so I think we try to limit it here, especially to all our listeners. But, you know, look, I get it. I totally get it. I mean, and I'm surprised we even have advertisers with everything that's been going on.
Right.
It's a blessing. But yeah. And then the same person complained about us charging for the chat box. So I'm going to explain that real quick. First and foremost, the reason we do that is because there were spammers in the chat box just about every day. And our first, you know, our first obligation is the people that actually listen and want to converse and stuff. It's not a hugely profitable part of what we do. I don't know that we won't change it during football season. Maybe go back to the wide open format and Phil will just be busy banning people. But at the time it was a distraction. And what we figured was we can increase revenue on this side of things. Because at the time, you know, Chief Sports, you know, and the Big Spur were separate entities. We can increase revenue, give some people some benefits and let them come in and chat. Plus, you know, it's been fun. The daily chat boxers. It's what a money grab by any stretch. Trust me, especially right. That tank of gas I just mentioned. I couldn't fill that up. Couldn't fill my tank up with the McKellar Enterprises Club Chief members, but we love them, and it's just a way to show support. So I don't want anybody to be mad about that. There's some folks out there that are mad about that. I don't want anybody to be mad about it. And I think sometimes in the media business world, there's a lot of people that, you know the truth that aren't going to correct the record, things like that.
Right.
So whatever. But our numbers have been fantastic, and we appreciate everybody rolling in. But WJM4, man, there's no blame here. Whatever you do with that, it's trust me, I really, this past all these seasons, it's gotten me down too. I mean, it's tough. It's been tough to work through here, and it's not, you know, because it just seems like every time you turn around, things just on the field, on the court, even the good times turn into bad quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, everybody's been through a lot, so I don't blame you. And what I'm here to say though, is it's a new day. I was almost relieved that, I mean, not, you're never relieved that the team loses. Right.
Right.
Well, they got their butts kicked and looked terrible doing it for the most part. And so, hey, it's over. That team is history. The 2026 Gamecock baseball team will never have to watch them again, thankfully. And the next time the Gamecocks take the field at Founders Park next February, there'll be a new coach, a new bunch of players. It'll be a new day. Yeah. And this program is not going anywhere. It's fallen on hard times. Lots of great programs have in multiple sports through the years. The idea is you have to make a good hire here that work. I mean, the definition of a good hire, people are going to have an opinion on it on the day that the person is hired. We're not going to know. Like I said, we'll know more. And we'll know kind of how to feel after the portal period this year, because you can turn it quickly. And then we'll see what the results are. I don't know that it's important to win the press conference. It'd be nice. I don't know that it's important to win the press conference so much as you win, you know, and because if it gets too far gone and you start going into like the decade part of it where you haven't won in a while, you're like the worst team in the SEC, 14th, 15th, 16th every year. then you become Kentucky. You become Vanderbilt before Tim Corbin. You become, you know, those national championships were long ago. There was a time where Missouri was a powerhouse. Missouri has won a College World Series. I believe it was in the 50s. Harrison probably knows. He can look that up. And what are they now? They're not very good. You know, so you don't want it to get too far in the rearview mirror. I'll remind everybody, too, Minnesota Golden Gophers in the 1930s were a powerhouse in football. I think they won two or three national championships, Phil.
Yeah. I mean, don't they, aren't as many,
what have they done the since?
Three in a row record holder?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I have to look that up. So you don't have forever. Just say, oh, we'll get back there one day. Not in this league.
No. Well, now's the time, right? I mean, because it's 15 years really separated from your last national championship, and you can't, like, you're on the verge or right there at the edge of having to reset what your program standards are. And anytime you want to reset what the minimum program standard is, you want that to go up. You want the floor to be raised. You don't want it to be lowered. And right now, you just have some low bars to step over to continue to maintain what it is that the minimum program standard is for Carolina baseball. Mm-hmm. And it's achievable without having to get, you know, five more years down the road and wander in the wilderness before you have to reset expectations.
You're in the wilderness right now, heading another year like this past two, you're heading to the abyss. Mm-hmm. The abyss is much harder to get out of. SC Native chimes in off of X. I think not firing Lamont Paris and raising the NIL budget is to avoid the Brent Pry situation. Some people and coaches may view the opening as a dead end if tangible commitment hadn't been proven. Agreed. Yeah, you're right. And Virginia Tech football ended up making a fantastic hire. And they have resources, Virginia Tech. So, yeah, that's a good point, SC. Phillip says, Kevin Schnell.
Oh,
does the pitching coach come with him? That's the key. Matt Williams. Oh, there's another Maneri.
Oh, my goodness.
Goodness gracious.
They talk about that in the morning, right?
Paul Maneri may still be, we may only be talking about what seed they're going to get, if they're host or not. Had he left Monty Lee in charge of recruiting and Matt Williams in charge of the pitchers?
Right.
Right. I mean, that's all you really had to do, Paul. I don't know, honestly, that they're getting around the I hate walks approach, which was stunning, or the fielding or the, you know, the bunting practice or whatever.
Right.
But that would have at least given you two people that you trust. You know? Quantrell says hire the best guy. Leave it at that. How many coaches are lifers? There's not that many.
Nah.
And look, I'm gonna say this too. About leaving. I think the Florida thing would be out there if Kevin Schnell got the job and that job open. I do. I think it's absolutely correct. Something happens, though. Here's one good thing about the University of South Carolina. When coaches get here, it tends to get in their blood and they don't want to leave. Steve Spurrier could have left. He could have taken the Miami job.
Right.
He could have taken the Alabama job. He could have taken the LSU job. Had Les Miles gone to Michigan in 07, which was done until Ohio State graduate Kirk Herbstreit spilled the beans and Les had to agree to a contract extension. that was crazy. LSU, their athletic director at the time was at Duke and knew Spurrier. So then, and Spurrier always wanted the LSU job. They didn't hire him. I think they hired Mike Archer instead of him. They interviewed Steve Spurrier. See how these things go? Interview Steve Spurrier and Mike Archer, and you go with Mike Archer. What might have been?
Right.
for the LSU Tigers, they got it right eventually. That would have been scary, Spurrier at LSU with all that talent.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Scary enough in Florida. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's, you kind of look at it and there's just, I don't know. It may or may not work out. Ethan agree. But and if they want to leave, they leave. But coaches, when they come to Carolina, it gets in their blood. Ray Tanner could have left for Texas A&M right before he won the national championships. Frank Martin, they'd ask him about leaving. He never wanted to leave. And you have other job opportunities and stuff here, there, and y'all never wanted to go. And I think it's because it's such a great place to work. And what one coach that was here told me one time about the Carolina football job was, it's a great place to be because it's so fulfilling when you win. Because the fans appreciate you so much. So it's because of the people. And Columbia is not a bad place to be. You know, people knock it sometimes. It is hot. But, you know, you're close to Atlanta and Charlotte. You're close to the beach. You're close to the mountains. That's a great location. This whole state of South Carolina is. And so I don't know that you worry about that. And South Carolina's really never had anybody leave for another job. That, now, part of that's because hadn't been a lot of success, right? But nobody's come in and taken South Carolina's coach. When you talk about the University of Florida, you know, with basketball and football prices keep going up. I mean, they're winning national championships in basketball. They have aspirations to do so in football. If you have a baseball coach that's making one of the best salaries in the country, are they really going to come in and top that for baseball at Florida?
Right.
I don't know. Baseball matters at South Carolina more than it does at Florida. Florida's been awfully good, and Kevin O'Sullivan's built a hell of a program. It's always had a lot of potential. Don't get me wrong. And the Gators love it. Gator Nation supports everything. They support Tiddlywinks. But if it comes down to those other two sports and this one, I don't know. You tell me. So I'm not worried about that as much at the end of the day. Just in terms of not just Schnall in Florida, but anybody that comes in here. And you're absolutely right, Quantrill. You can't hire somebody worrying about them leaving. You know, if they leave, they leave. You know, they get it going. If they leave, you just go hire the next guy. I mean, I think there's so much fear about that in college sports. I mean, I've told you that I thought the Alabama athletic director was insane for giving DeBoer that contract. Let him go to Michigan.
Right.
He can't hurt you.
Where's the contract is such to where the team that wants the coach is going to pay you to take him.
Who you will
pay the buyout,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, let him go. Yeah, let him go.
Crazy.
Ethan, Jeff says, winning solves everything. It does. Ethan says, short-term error in college football, you have to flip teams quickly to get the best candidate and let the future take care of itself. Yeah, just flip it. TD says he truly believes Monty can win. He knows what it takes. I agree with you there. That has nothing to do with Monty Lee. It's like if I'm talking about other candidates, it's nothing to do with them.
No, yeah, it's, yeah. No.
You know. Lance says, my kids will remember the sad lattes hurt deep. TD has a prediction about football. It's an even year for Beamer and Company. It is.
That's right.
Football's going to have a monster year bookmark.
It's coming.
The even years have worked out pretty well. That started all that way, but they've worked out. And really, 2021, looking back at the players that he had, and he had enough to get to a bowl, I think. Bad, tough quarterback situation. Really tough quarterback situation.
Yeah.
Really tough quarterback situation. But, and they got to 1-1. But you can't, 23 and 25 certainly have been disasters. And all roads with those two seasons lead to the offensive line and the offense. Let's hope that's fixed. Big Spur Van says, what do they do with all the beer left over after the year, asking for a friend? Are you talking about the
at the stadiums
at the or stadium?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. Got to go.
You can just take it right on down into the weight room there. It's a short trip.
I don't think it's like when I used to work at Quincy's, right? you know, the buffet would end and they'd let people take home the meatloaf and the macaroni and cheese.
Oh, yeah. Because what are you going to do with it, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Matt's late. He says, was Monty speaking about Shaw last night when he said he wants a coach that wants to be here and doesn't just come for a raise? I don't know what he meant by that. I think he's speaking generally. He knows. I mean, Kevin Schnall's been in the state a long time. He and Monty Lee know each other. I can't imagine he was taking a shot at anybody. That's just not Monty Lee. He's probably speaking generally. So Matt says, also heard Schnall was a a-hole out of the players liking. Players love him. So I don't know. Now, he's from New Jersey originally. He's not a good old boy, you know. No. But from New Jersey. I think personality wise he fits the program. Salt of the earth, tough guy, you know.
Right. Carolina blue collar, yeah.
So Kreger says AJ Randall, we got a chance. There's a chance. I think it's Miami right now. Roger says greetings from Woodruff. Do you recall Alex Cunningham, who played for the 2016 Coastal Championship team? He's a Burns guy, married his cousin's daughter. Nice guy. I do not. Remember him. I don't think I watched the Coastal in the series in 2016. I think I was doing something else at that point in time. But always happy for a Burns guy, right? Kreger's son sent him a text and said, Jazavian Currents will be a top 20 draft pick. Bull, but I don't disagree. He's special. Ethan says he could start from day one. Could. And maybe Darius Gray, possible. Meredith's in the house. Hey, guys.
Hey, Mayor.
So, X-Man says, could you guys at least, I don't know.
Oh, it's on down. He finishes it.
At least tell us about why Maneri was hired. I don't think it's a good idea to hire anybody who is knowingly only going to be here 3 years. Well, he signed a 5-year contract. I don't know that it was understood he was only going to be here 3 years. As with all these hires, once it got to a certain point, there's a lot of influences that take place there. I honestly think, though, you know, that Ray Tanner is probably just as shocked as everybody else. I mean, even if the guy's not at the top of his game, he's won so many games.
Right.
You know, you at least could think that he knows what a baseball, you know, good baseball talent. Oh, well, this guy's good. And with the financial end of it now, I mean, you know, you can kind of get guys through the portal to come, even if they know you're not going to be there. The in-state recruiting stuff is a different subject. But if you'd have told me when he was hired that he was not only going to not improve the program, but turn it into one of the worst ever in my lifetime and the worst in the history, you know, one of the, you know, the bottom of the SEC, basically, if it weren't for good old Missouri, who actually did win their conference tournament game yesterday.
Right, yeah.
I'd have told you were crazy. I mean, I'm not going to admit I saw that coming. That'd be dishonest of me. Dishonest. So, all right. What's today? Wednesday?
Wednesday.
From Wednesday. So, listen. Go to D's Wings, 18 wings and a pitcher of beer for $29.
Tonight's the night.
Tonight is the night. Tonight is going to be a jailbreak.
Yes.
Anyway, we'll be back to, gosh, this thing goes fast now.
I know.
Wrap it up on the show portion of ITG after this.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show rolling on here. Speaking of Missouri baseball, they are now down 10 runs to Mississippi State, just like that, in the top of the seventh, and are about to get run ruled right out of this thing.
Your rebellion has been squashed.
That's right. Yeah, it's over.
Yeah. So, Kreger says something about Darius Gray. I think Gray's too athletic not to play this year. On Darius Gray, I think it depends on, number one, how quickly can he pick everything up, because it is a transition. Because I agree with your statement completely. I think Darius Gray absolutely is athletic enough to step in and play right away. You're talking about a big-time athlete for his size. He's got footwork. I think he can play any position on the offensive line. I wouldn't be surprised, Phil, to see him get a look at offensive tackle at some point, because they kind of need depth there. the thing is, can he pick it up? You know, can he have a good summer of workouts? And then who is in front of him and how good are they?
Yeah.
Because, you know, right now you got Poku and you got Purvis right now, kind of your slated guards. You got Marquis Anderson, you got Demola Ejidihun, kind of Nolan Hay also lurking back there. You know, I don't know enough to compare them because Gray hasn't gotten there yet. So those are the things Randy Clements and Jason Smith and everybody will figure out. But to your point, if he does, and most of the time when a freshman does start on the offensive line, he's just too good not to. So that was the way it was with Shed Surratt last year, but Shed came in early. You know, Shed came in and had spring practice.
Yeah, that's my only, like, it's not a concern because I agree with all the athleticism talk about Gray, but I think missing the spring kind of puts him, you know, a little farther down the line, and we'll see. But it all depends on how he handles the summer. I mean, he is great potential. It's like, you know, it's like having a like the perfect lump of clay in front of you, right? But it's just not quite the pot that you need it to be. So we're still, and he's a little behind on the turning.
Yeah, I'm with you there. A little lump of clay.
Very large lump of clay. In
Mr. Cockweed Gray. has a interview question from the baseball search. You plan to exit, live in Columbia? Hired. Lance looked at Judah Lancaster today. He said, we better hold on to him. That's an elite football talent. Yeah, I like him a lot.
Oh, mm-hmm.
He's a three-star guy, but so was Mike Tyler. He kind of reminds me of Mike Tyler. Wes Mitchell had a great analysis on him. Maybe it was Chris. No, it was Wes. It was Wes. He said he's a dual threat tight end, meaning he's good at blocking and receiving. You know, some guys you wouldn't call dual threat tight ends.
Right.
So I like that. Dexter said he's been told that we need to cut back on spending. I said, okay, but I'm not giving up my football and baseball tickets. Lance said, if I was a millionaire, I promise I would give more than enough every year. Only benefit I would ask is free beers at Williams-Brice. So
that's fair.
JG has a point. I like Monty a lot, but it's very difficult to hire the interim coach after losing the last 13 games, not blaming Monty, just a tough spot. I think that's a fair and accurate statement. I didn't say necessarily he shouldn't be hired under any circumstances, but I do think it's very difficult to do that. And like you said, I agree with you. It's not his fault. So Ed says he appreciates the minimal commercial breaks. I appreciate you saying that, Ed.
Thank you, Ed. Thank you.
The other part of the post was this. If you listen on podcast, so coffee, which by the way, we're going to start not doing coffee on Wednesdays. Like coffee's going to be Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, at least through the summer. And there's a reason for that because with scheduling and stuff like that. So that's why there was no coffee today. Coffee's a podcast. I'm, you know, if there is a commercial break in, it's going to be podcast commercials that pop up. Okay.
Yeah.
Like you're listening to your normal podcast. These are live shows that we have a podcast format for. They're clearly live shows. And there's a difference with the commercial flow with the two things. So I just want to explain that to everybody. It was called Extreme. I don't think it was Extreme at all.
Extreme.
In fact, I can show you Extreme commercial wise, right?
Yeah.
And then on the podcast end of things too, I don't think you're unless because it's not going to change for you guys out there, but on the back end, there's a new way we do podcasts with our partnership with On3. We're getting on their platform. Unless it's like mandated, you know, like I listen to some political podcast and some sports podcast. You turn that puppy on, you're sitting there for 8 minutes.
Oh my goodness. The pre-rolls are awful, man.
I'm never going to douse anybody with, if I could possibly help it with like 8 pre-roll commercials. You know, I mean, there's a right way and a wrong way to monetize things.
Right. Yeah.
So Gamecock 346, I love the job y'all do. That's why I love this show. In the past, I've never done interacting with a show. Yeah, it's kind of cool, isn't it?
Yeah, man, it is. It's fun.
It's kind of cool. Bruin says, thanks, John. John Edward, you owe all of us reimbursement. Bobby said, Ethel, take my
yesterday.
Money. For the price of a gallon of gas. It's crazy.
Right? For the price of a gallon of gas.
Game Guy 346, I miss JC's visor and hats. I know, but I get so many compliments about my hair. It's about time for a haircut. And I likely will not get one. And so you'll see the visor pop back out.
Mm-hmm.
Like Harrison says, it's a good day to have a good day, Dexter says. Okay, Harrison said, per Wikipedia, the Missouri Tigers beat Rollins College to win the 54 College World Series.
Baseball juggernaut.
Bruin says the late 1900s were 30 years ago. Stop reminding me, sure, Bruin.
Wait, come on, Bruin. Hey,
ban him, no, Phil. Listen, he needs to be banned.
Okay. Jeez, we're having a perfectly good day.
Ethan says, amazing, we've had so much to talk about, though. Is there a Gamecock therapist in the house? Y'all have been therapy for us for this year. Thank you, guys.
That we're having to do
that's it. That's the idea with everything. That's, you know, bless y'all.
Right.
I say a prayer for you guys. Bigger Ed.
Yeah, that's a two-way street on the therapy part of it for sure.
Bigger Ed Rooster 2907. Ray Tanner was going to leave for Texas A&M. It was 809s and Hyman was the AD. So I don't think Texas was open. When did Augie Garrido leave Texas, Phil?
Let's see here.
Game got 3-4-6. Yeah, Ed, remember, Ed, when you brought up Mike Archer beat the Gamecocks in the Gator Bowl, I almost rich in that. For real, because he was the coach at LSU. Carolina played LSU before they were in the SEC, 87 Gator Bowl. That was a sad loss to me. I was a kid.
So Garrido left in 16, actually.
Yeah, Tanner was done coaching. So, and Augie was the coach at Texas from what point to one point?
20 years, 20 seasons. So,
96.
Yeah.
So, Big Red Rooster, Augie Garrido was not leaving Texas from 96 to 16. It was A&M. Just to let you know, my man. I was worried I had made a fact error, but I did not.
No, you're good. Yeah.
By the way, If you love rants by coaches, Augie Garrido, there's nobody better.
Oh, man.
The late, great one.
Really?
Would be dead. By the way, shout out to the Moose. It's his birthday today. 18.
Hey, all right. 18, happy birthday.
Life of crime.
That's right.
He, sweet 18 or whatever. I guess he's an adult now. We can kick him out the house.
That's right. Yeah. Hey.
But no, I forgot to mention that at the top. But yeah, Mike Archer did beat Carolina Gator. Well, 3-4-6 goes. When Maneri was fired, why wasn't Rooney fired too?
Yeah,
I've never gotten a clear answer on that.
Who knows?
Ed says Don's had numerous opportunities to leave. Yeah, who would?
Mm-hmm.
So, 3-4-6 says the DeBoer contract will bite Alabama in the butt. So, David asks, will Schnall or Fitzgerald take the job? I can't guarantee it. I feel like if there's one that would definitely turn it down, or that would definitely consider it would probably be Schnall to stay because he's so detached. I don't know that Fitzgerald would turn it down. Now, could you miss out on both in theory? Absolutely. You see something like Texas Tech open up, right, in the Big 12, and you know, They're going to go big game hunting for a coach. And they got
virtually limitless resources.
And yeah, he's Texas guy, all that. Mm-hmm. Could you see him maybe veer that way? And then Schnall says, I'm staying at Coastal to maybe pursue another job down the road. Yeah. And then, there's also the possibility that I've been focused on Schnall and Fitzgerald because those are the two names that I feel the most comfortable with. There's always a possibility that there's other names out there that aren't in the you know, you talk about noise in the system sometimes, like the programming in the system that are kind of off. I'm telling you guys right now, don't rule that out. Just don't rule out something coming that you haven't seen. That's happened before. JC, please stay here. Do your Paul impression.
Well, I just hope that I can recruit some good players. And I don't think that this guy who really hit 340 and had 20 home runs last year, I just don't think he's going to cut it in the SEC. My goodness. You know, I came in and I wanted to keep all of those guys. But when you have Terry Rooney on your staff, it's what am I supposed to do? I don't know, Paul.
I don't know. I'm not sure, Paul.
Roger said, I wonder why Monty was never hired to start. Why did Tanner not choose him? When Paul Maneri was hired?
Yeah.
That could have happened.
Outside the realm of possibility.
I don't think Ray Tanner would have hesitated to do it. X-Man says, have you thought about reopening the mailbag for coffee sometimes? I miss that from the old days. Yeah, let's do it. We'll do it. InsideTheGamecocks@gmail.com. I'll answer all of your questions. I think that's a good idea for coffee, too.
Yeah.
Because it's topical. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if you guys give me what to talk about, I can talk all day.
That's right.
It's kind of amazing that of South Carolina's greatest coaches of all time, our greatest coaches were the ones where this was their final job. Truth. And for different reasons, you know. McGuire, who I still think, you know, obviously winning as coach, was a little older when he got here. Spurrier was a little older when he got here. Now, Tanner left coaching early, you know, relatively. I mean, there's guys his age that are still trucking, that are winning, that are, you know, still coaching baseball. They all left. Well, I mean, I guess Spurrier coached in that Alliance, the pros. He didn't coach college again. So, Bobby said, I heard it was above Tanner and higher ups didn't like his time in the upstate. There's probably some truth to that. Mississippi State's now up 12-2.
Oh, yeah, it's over. They were run ruled.
Contrell asked why Maneri was hired. Mike Morgan alluded to it yesterday, all these red flags. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't. I'll let JB or Mike dig into most of that because I'm not. You know, I didn't have somebody directly tell me. Hey, my wife is in here. Just signing on to see my new chat handle.
Nat. Yeah.
Thank God for Google Calendar. Pimp says, give us some new emojis for the chat. It's Google, man. I can't control it.
Yeah, I wish we could.
There's
a lot we can't do that.
Krager said Fitzgerald makes $450,000. He's not turning it down. I don't think he is. Krager said Paul talked so calmly to be such a prick to his players. Yeah, I don't know. That was always weird to me too. TD says a lot of fans lose their minds if Monty Lee's the next head coach. To which I say, take a hike. JD could do way worse than hiring Monty Lee. I agree. Here's the thing with the Monty Lee situation. Bottom line. I think there's the baseball part of it where you go, well, here's what this, you know, this guy is a good baseball coach, the staff, the connection, all that adds up. But then you also have to take the big picture part of it where athletic department, who's making the decision, the leadership at South Carolina, are they just in charge of baseball? No.
No. Yeah.
And that's just how it goes in college sports, man. You know, I mean, so unless this ends up being an abnormal type of coaching search, I wouldn't expect for him to get it. I'm not against that. I'm just saying that I agree with whatever the statement was earlier in the McKellar Enterprises chat box that it's hard. It's going to be difficult to do. And it will be. It will be. So, Philip says 2025-26 was rough, but at least my daughter brought home some Chicken Man art. Why not? Hayne asked if they hired Monty, does he keep Stuart Lake on staff? Yeah. And I'm going to say this. I think Stuart needs to be on anybody's staff in the player development.
Yeah, that role he's currently filling.
Yeah. He's a in-state baseball guy.
Yeah.
WJM4 would be hiring Lee would be taking the easy way out. I don't think there's anything easy about doing that.
There's nothing easy about that.
People said the same thing about hiring Muschamp. I completely disagreed.
Yeah.
Said a little lazy hire, you know, easy hire. Because you knew you were going to get a lot of backlash for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You hired the guy that got fired at Florida 2 years ago. That there's going to cause, I mean, there's nothing easy about that.
I would consider throwing piles of money at a Sunbelt coach the easy way out before I would assume that, hiring money, because they're the slings and arrows for that hire alone are going to come fast and furious. But hey, the stadium's already empty.
I mean, it's not, you know, there's in some ways it's like recruiting, in other ways it's not like recruiting. Like in recruiting, you know, it's not that there's never a good player that you get, right? Like it's never that you never get a good player that nobody else wants. I think Tristan Lewis from Greenwood is going to end up being that example for South Carolina. They beat Morris Hill on him. You know, I mentioned Hunter Renfro earlier at Clemson. It's not that that never happens. But one of the ways that I think sometimes is better than star ratings is it's not who all's offered the kid, because some of those offers fall off and they're not real offers.
Right.
And it's the officer and a gentleman philosophy, because they've got nowhere else to go.
I've got nowhere else.
So they come with you, right? I've got nowhere else to go.
Liked me as a sophomore when I was out there
for exactly.
Camp one summer. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
I hadn't heard. Well, have you talked to them lately? No.
No.
There were a lot of guys like that during the Spurrier era where they had 25 offers from good schools, but you didn't see any visits. They kind of came in. Yeah, anyway. More so than offers, is like, who did you beat? When it came down to brass tacks, you know, and there was because there's really never any more than a final three, no matter what the kids say. There's never a final five. There's not five schools that the guy's sitting there trying to decide on. If there is, he doesn't need to make a decision because he's not ready. It's usually two, 80% of the time. And so that's a good way to judge recruiting. And it's not necessarily do you have good players or not. It's, is your staff able to win the argument and convince players to come to your school,
right?
However you do it. Coaching searches are not really that way. Guys, you know, first of all, in recruiting, every school in the country wants recruits every year. Every job in the country is not open every year. A lot of it's about timing, you know. In the rare moment where you have a guy trying to decide between jobs, yeah, that's good when you win that one. You always want to do that. But the process is different, you know. So I kind of like to look at it like, well, who else has been interested when they've had an opening? Have they interviewed this guy? Has he been on the radar? That kind of thing. But I don't think that validates it. There's a lot of guys, it's like, who in the heck would hire him? And they end up winning national championships. So contrary perception is reality. Okay, one more thing, and then we gotta go. Did you see the rumor Muschamp was hired at Texas to replace Sark if he has a subpar year? He has great relationships with Texas boosters, apparently.
He was the coach in waiting. You know, before he bolted to Florida.
Watch Will Muschamp take over at Texas.
Oh, my goodness.
And win a national champ, win two national championships, three in a row. And then everybody at Florida and South Carolina are like, oh! What? I would have liked to see what Will could have done with the transfer portal.
Man,
Legacy, no way to get off the subject. I love your pulmonary impersonation. I sometimes I nail it, sometimes it's not all that good. Yeah. Craig's looking forward to the 4-hour shows again. Probably going to be football season.
Yeah, maybe coming back from break. Who knows? We'll see.
All right, Phil.
Yeah.
Give me, as Leonard's losers used to say. Get me out of here, Percy. All right, for Phil Mullinax, the Mad Dog, for Jamie Bradford, for Rob Williams, the Heartthrob, as he is called. Don't forget Four Corner Friday each and every Friday. Follow Four Corner Friday on social media at Four Corner Friday on Instagram. Go do their YouTube channel. I know some of you are on YouTube. Go like that right now. YouTube.com/Four Corner Friday. Go hit that subscribe button for those guys. Complete coverage of high school sports. Gonna have fourquarterfriday.com coming up on Rivals on 3 soon. So you'll be able to get all your high school sports news right there. We love high school sports right here. Also, don't forget, for $1, come interact on thebigspur.com, GamecockCentral.com. Both sites, one price. You get all the on 3 stuff as well. Pete Nakos, all over the baseball search, as well as me, as well as Bradford, as well as Wes, Chris Clark. Jack Veltri has a hot board up today. How about that?
Yeah.
Hot board. All right. See you later, folks. Tomorrow, Thirsty Thursday, as the week rolls on.